Buttons, the regular play button. You see this one regular button here, and the record button. You press them both at once. And you can see that you're recording. You see this little needle right there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when you talk, it bounces.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well, I'd like to talk about your grandfather. He said, said he was he homesteaded out there, or he bought a place out there in the Avon area.
Well, no, he didn't buy a place. He took up some land, and my aunt had taken took up a 40, and the place he took was what they call a preemption. He bought it, and he filed on part of it, and part of it he paid cash for, and they call that a preemption, I think. And he did lots of hard work on that place. And we thought that we never was going to get any returns out of it. When the W9M railroad built through, why, they helped out a good deal.
Well, did they build through his property?
Yes, it will. So close to it that he had to pay. They had to pay him a lot right away, a couple of miles or so right away where it crossed. Remember, I get all this stuff mixed up nowadays. So much of it I listened to when I was around my grandfather's home where I lived for quite a while. But I'd go out Huckleberry during the daytime and listen to him talk to me and kind of lose track of things. At the one last year that I took huckleberries, I dressed in men's clothes and took to the woods, took my lunch and a little bucket of water, and took to the particular place that I know. There was big huckleberries. And I stayed with it, and I didn't tell anybody where it was either until I picked 45 gallons and sold them.
How much were huckleberries selling for then?
Well, about $1 a gallon. That was about all I could get. All you dared ask and sell them at all is you're not apt to lose your people that are buying the berries if you ask too much for them. But it is a pretty good price. Anyway, I got 45 gallons out of that deal, and I was selfish, and I kept the whereabouts of the patch too. Maybe you've heard of Cedar Gulch. Mm-hmm. Well, it was in Cedar Gulch. Most of Cedar Gulch is where I was picking those berries, most of them. I didn't care to go in too far because there was no cougars around that place. I saw her once and I saw him once or twice. But I am not much of a coward. And I'm not afraid of coyotes at all. And cougars are things that they save you as long as you keep your distance from them. So much thing. And they generally take one good look at you and go sneaking off. Just that one of us scared up in the woods and I didn't have anybody with me, a gun or anything else. Didn't have any protection, but I had some pretty swift feet that as soon as they got the cougar got out of sight, I did too.
The cougar never gave you any trouble then?
You could hear him sometimes at night, growling or yelling. I think there was more than one in the S strip of woods. I think there were a pair is what I think. You could, at night, sometimes they'd yell back and forth. It had kind of a scary sounding meow. Excuse my hiccups. But that's what I get. I don't get to talking too much.
Well, were there bears up in that huckleberry patch too?
Oh, there was lots of huckleberry patches in. But they're kind of frozen out now. These last two or three big heavy frosts in the woods has come and set them back. Some of the neighbors said they didn't find out any good berries last year at all. And then it kind of goes, but you get them 1 year, then maybe 2 or 3 years before you get good ones again. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to go to look much for them the second time. The cougar'd been seen 2 or 3 times. I was getting kind of leery. I didn't want to hang around up in there. Very well. More afraid of a cougar than I was of a bear. I saw bears several times. Didn't scare me.
What did the neighbors think of you getting dressed up in men's clothes and going out to go huckleberry?
Oh, about the usual thing. I was, you know, sorry for themselves because I didn't ask them to go too. That's a man thing. Well, there's some of them that didn't face at all. And some of them, of course, kind of were stricken to see a lady, supposed to be a lady, dressing in men's clothes. But I don't know whose business it was. So. I told two or three different ones about him. They said, oh, don't you hate to dress in men's clothes? Won't they say things? I said, let them say if they want to know their business. If I want to dress in men's clothes.
Right.
And I was, I was grown up. I wasn't an old maid. I was too old to be even an old maid. I was picking those huckleberries.
This is before you were married, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. But I'd known my husband ever since we were kids. Went to school together. He was only a couple of years older than I was. And his folks lived there, and they took up the place. And he went to school after. Lots of them would have quit, but he didn't. He went to school. So did I. And we got acquainted.
How did your husband go about courting you?
Oh, he could just come to see me. We saw each other pretty... When we was going to school, we saw each other every day. Mm-hmm. He didn't put many frills on. He knew what he wanted, I knew what he wanted. He wanted to be his best girl.
Uh-huh.
And he'd come and work for my grandfather sometimes, a little bit. And his mother kind of engineered things. She wanted me for a daughter-in-law, and she kind of engineered things around. She was kind of a fishy lady, not very well, but awful good-natured and good-hearted. And his father was an Englishman. He was awful good-hearted. And he, I've got a picture of him. Well, it's over in the dresser drawer, a big picture. I'm taking side by side. But she wasn't very well, and he wasn't, and Mr. Thurber wasn't as well as they thought he was, come to find out. And my husband had cancer, we found out that. He didn't complain very much until right after last, said he didn't feel very good. And he was no hand to complain of his hurts at all. As though he was watching out for mine. And I'd ask him if he didn't feel, well, he didn't feel very good, he asked. I told him we'd better make an agreement about our tempers, because we both had tempers, some extent. I said, let's make an agreement. When we get up in the morning and you feel cross, I'll try and keep still. And when I feel cross, you try and keep still. And I said, between the two of us, maybe we won't fight. He laughed. But here's my hand to quarrel. Anyway, but when he said things and meant them, you wanted to get out of his way. Any of the neighbors even. He wouldn't. We always got along with them after a fashion, but they knew when to leave him alone pretty well. Because he was a big fellow. He was over 6 foot tall. Weighed about, when he was feeling well, he weighed about 250 or 60, about 6 foot tall.
He was a pretty big man.
Didn't feel much like hauling with him. He used to get at me when I tried to drive the team for him when he was hauling in hay. He says, you drive horses the funniest way. Well, I said, they go. He said, yes, but you can, if you can make them go the way I do, it'll save you lots of trouble. Well, I says, if it gets us to where we want to go and gets in the hay, what's the difference? He had three horses. He had a third horse that came in pretty handy. It also came in pretty handy for the neighbors.
Was there a lot of loaning and borrowing and stuff with the neighbors?
Oh, quite a bit. That's the way they did in that neighborhood. So, like I told Frank, I said, I don't mind the bar. I said, don't forget to bring it back. That's what not bothered. Anything else. But they're all pretty good about bringing back the family bar.
Well, after you were married, you farmed then?
Huh?
Did you and your husband did farming after you were married?
Oh, yes. We met when I was 12 and he was 14. That's when we met. That's when his folks moved into the neighborhood up there. And they didn't get around to do much farming for quite a little while, but they finally did have a nice little place there. And pretty well with it, too. And his father and mother are both hard workers. I've got a picture of them.
That's okay. I can look at it later.
I probably won't think of it then.
Yeah. I'll think of it later. That's all right.
I'm just swinging around. It's over in the top of one of those drawers.
Okay.
There.
Okay. Did he come straight over to Idaho from England?
The grandfather came. My grandfather came from England, was English blood too, but he came from Iowa straight over.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Thurl, he had lived in Wisconsin, I guess, mm-hmm. I believe it was, or someplace like that, in the east. And he decided to move away. He came over to the place and lived down.
How many kids were there in your school when you went to school there in Avon?
Well, Avon, there was quite a few. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it'd be. I know sometimes she had quite a. More little kids than big kids. She had a mixture of both. She had several classes of older children and then another one.
Did the teacher usually have a pretty easy time of it, keeping the kids in line, or did the kids get out of line a lot?
She had a pretty easy time of it because they didn't dare do any different.
They
minded when the kid was under her care in school. They minded her to mind when they were spoken to.
Well, how would she sort of discipline some of the bigger boys or something who might be bigger than she was or something?
They wouldn't think of doing things to make her discipline. She'd just talk to them. She could get them that way. She had a fairly good school. They weren't very strict or something. And there weren't very many big boys, grown-up boys. And those that were, she's just going to tell them, well, you're grown up, no, you don't act like a little kid. And she just talking, not a parent. She didn't have to use any. Some of the little ones had to be a little disciplined, but not. They had my mother had a way with it. When she spoke to them, they changed a bit of mind.
Oh, your mother was a school teacher?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
My mother was a teacher.
Well, was that kind of hard for you to be going to school where your mother was teaching?
I went to school some of the time, yes. But she was German teaching home. She had to board me with somebody near the school. Then because I was young and couldn't walk so far, she had to, from her own home, she had about 2 or 3 miles to walk if she walked. So she boarded with a lady, with some of the people she knew. She boarded with them. During from Monday to, well, from, of course, she, Monday evening, starting with supper, and then Friday morning, Friday would be another day, and the Saturday and Sunday in between didn't count against her.
Well, so she would board in town, and you would walk to school from your grandparents' place?
She, from where?
She would board in town, and then would you walk to school from your grandparents' place?
Oh no, I wasn't big enough to. And see, she taught school a little bit before I was old enough to go to school. She'd leave me home with my grandmother and teach school. And I had to always take mind what grandma said too. She hated to do that because my grandmother didn't always work pretty hard and she was too much work for her. My grandmother told her not to worry about that. But it really was a little hard on her because she was right at the age where she should have had work a little easier. Her kids were growing up. The grandkids were pests, I guess. No, she always claimed it they never were, but I know kids now. My cousin and I, it was just the two of us for a while, and he was about 15 months younger than I. And of course, I bossed him.
You what?
I bossed him. I was the oldest of the two grandchildren, so I was boss. Well, he was perfectly willing to be bossed by me. As long as it was Alice, that's all right.
What kind of things would you do as a kid?
Huh?
What kind of things would you do as a kid to amuse yourselves?
Well, we played. Made up our plays pretty much. Then we had dogs and cats and chickens and geese. Guinea fowls. The guinea fowls are the things that made the racket that kept the hawks away.
Huh.
Scare them a little bit and they'd play at the top of the barn and yell until the hawks decided it's time to get out. There's a white bus. A red one too, on the red car too. Two red ones. Some of them are getting home from school, I guess.
Well, how long did you live with your grandparents?
Huh?
How long did you live with your grandparents?
Oh, till I was still living with them. I was pretty well grown myself. I made my home with them, but I was supposed to help with the work and help my grandmother with the work. My aunt that taught school, she was home during vacation time, and she did outside work. She didn't make the house.
Was most of the work you did housework?
Huh?
Was most of the work you did housework?
It would be housework mostly until my grandfather got to keep quite a bit of stock. And then it was more my aunt I was doing than she'd buy the geese and the pigs and the things like that. And my grandfather would make room for them on his place. She'd buy the feed for them and fatten them. And we'd have all the pork we wanted. Some to sell generally, and some beef. Well, my grandfather always made it, always tried to buy a quarter of a beef in the fall, just to have some of it sold down, more dry beef made for winter. And we had a neighbor like to get him the best of anybody. He had to go some if he got the best of my grandfather. My grandfather told him where to head in.
Your grandfather was a pretty sharp trader?
Huh?
Was your grandfather a pretty sharp trader?
Well, sharp enough so he didn't lose much when he was trading. He didn't go in for being such a sharp trader, but he'd been raised and lived in Iowa for a long time before he came out. Side, and he tried to raise fields of grain and along in a hot town and settle it. So much. My grandmother had a hired girl to stay with her while my grandfather was gone. And then he began to lose out kind of in that kind of business and got a chance to come out west. So he thought maybe he'd do better out here. So he came. And he did pretty well. My uncle's helping.
Did he have to clear the timber off the land when he came to Avon?
Well, no, he was he could sell the timber to the potlatch, some of it, and he wouldn't have to handle it. The potlatch would handle it.
Would potlatch pull stumps too, or was there still stumps in the field?
Well, they wouldn't pull the stumps so much, but they'd get to cut the logs and ship them outside. And there goes a green car. Got every color in my thing when I go. Oh, it was a pretty hard life all the way around. Not what that man was doing.
How old were you when you married your husband?
Huh?
How old were you when you married your husband?
Oh, we were both pretty old. Let's see, how old was I? I was 23.
Oh, that's not too old.
Too old, huh? And he was just only a couple of years older than me.
Did people get married a lot younger those days, and usually, than they do now?
Oh, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Just depends on the people. I had one boy, what we call nowadays an old man. No, I got so sick and tired of him, I didn't know what to do. Well, be so hateful, he's right wrong to me.
What did he do that made you sick and tired of him?
I wasn't in love with a man, I didn't want to marry him, I didn't want him hanging around. And he couldn't take a hint. I never saw such a dummy. He wanted to get married so bad that he couldn't see hints if they printed a big print. Come right out and told him what I was about and made him mad. Oh, I wasn't bothered with bulls very much.
Well, after you got married, did you move to your own place and start working on your own place, or did you stay with the Thurtles are with your grandparents?
My husband's place. He had a place.
Oh, he had his own place at that time.
Yeah.
Had he bought that or homesteaded it himself or what?
Well, I don't remember now just how it was, but they lived there. His father had that to have to get the place to start with. Then then after his father got sold, he couldn't run it anymore. I think took over to run it. So it was kind of his place then, and they considered it his
place. Did he farm very much land there?
Huh?
Did he farm very much land?
No, it was a very big place. 80 acres, I think he said it was all together. 80 acres and a little piece of timberland. And he had a good spring, right? At his front door, and this kind of this native water is irony. Some people don't like it because it tastes so strong iron, but it's good water. People are not very well. My estate, yeah, I was watching a car go by on their road.
Was it pretty easy to support yourself off a small piece like an 80 acre?
Well, there was only one man to do the work. Well, you don't want too big a place because they can't do it. Because lots of times they can't hire because the men that are loose in the neighborhood are working for other people. And so there comes a white bus and a green car. String.
Well, didn't he have to hire help around haying time or around?
Oh yes, the neighbors helped each other. Mm-hmm. And then lots of times there's somebody traveling through that wanted a few days of work. And then after the potlatch got busy in the woods, there was men going back and forth. And then it worked in the camps and quit. And oh, there was quite a circulation.
Did your husband never work for Potlatch?
Huh?
Did your husband never work for Potlatch?
Yes, he worked for Potlatch.
What did he do?
Oh, he worked on the ranch. And sold grain to him. And like that. And he worked in those until.
Was he selling grain for their horse teams?
Huh?
Was he selling grain to them for their horse teams?
Yeah. Team them for seed for the next year. Mm-hmm. He had 3 horses.
What were their names?
I wonder if I can remember now. Beauty was one.
Beauty?
She was kind of pretty too. And then there was, what did he call? I'm trying to think what he called those other 2 horses. He had them named, but I can't think right now just exactly what they were. He changed their names every once in a while.
When he decided they were different than they thought or something?
Oh no, just do most anything to pass the time away. And you live up in the woods like that.
What would you do to pass time?
Oh, they had parties. Chivalries when they were getting married.
What's a chivalry?
That's when a couple get married and the crowd moves in and has a good time.
Well, what would they do?
Oh, play games and congratulate each other.
Well, is a chivalry kind of a surprise thing that people do?
Yeah, a chivalry. Well, all those that got married, they fully expected to have a chivalry. And
uh-huh.
They're disappointed if they didn't.
Uh-huh.
But they'd go get a gang of young folks together, and take something to eat. And they'd go move in on these people that had just been married.
Huh.
If they were living at their folks' home, they'd move in on them, and they'd have a good time playing games and so forth.
They play tricks on the people and stuff too? Well, they play tricks on the people who got married and stuff too?
Yeah. Excuse me, I think it was.
It's okay. What kind of games and what kind of tricks would they do?
Oh, games kind of verging on the dancing and doing kind of. I never danced much anything, but there were lots of others that did. And they skipped the Maloo, you probably heard that.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. My brain's getting stirred up so much I won't know anything at all. Pretty soon. Trying to think of any different things. I kind of let things slide when you get to 83, you think you've done your share of thinking.
What other things, when there wasn't somebody getting married that you could go chivalry them, what else would you do to amuse yourselves?
Oh, they would have just playing parties. Women would bake up some cake and make sandwiches and they'd go to somebody's house and then just play these games that are like chivalry, a good deal, or literary, if you ever heard of that.
Uh-huh.
Played different games till they got tired and then they'd eat their sandwiches and tell everybody good night and leave. Put your dress down. She's only 79 years old and she does this.
What?
See if I can get her to keep her clothes down anyway.